Welcome to Ready to Resell, the ultimate podcast for anyone looking to unlock the secrets of successful reselling. Join your hosts Leah and Kayla as we deep dive into the dynamic world of reselling. Whether you're starting as a side hustle or aiming to build a full-time business, our podcast is your go-to resource for actionable advice and inspiration. Tune in and embark on this reselling journey with us. Hello, and welcome to Ready to Resell. I'm Leah, and I am here today with our wonderful host, Kayla.
Hello, everyone.
And today we are going to talk about pricing your items. And this is really for any platform that you sell on. And this is one of the most important things that you can do, because if you don't price your item right, then you're not either not selling the item because it's priced too high, or you're not making the profit that you should be making if you're pricing too low. And I feel like today's tips and tricks that we're going to give you are great, even if you're just starting out, you've never sold an item on a platform before, or if you are a regular seller and you've been doing this for a little bit of time, hopefully you can pick up some little tips here and there, because I'm rambling.
Well, I also feel like it's for those of you who have experience in selling and you've made great sales, but you've got a couple of those items that are just not moving.
Yes.
And you may have just limited space in your office, so you can't really keep things for years and years and wait on them to sell.
Yeah.
We're very lucky in that way, where we have a giant warehouse.
We do. We have the space. And so we're not too worried about keeping an item forever, because eventually it will sell no matter what. And we'll talk about that later, because we can give you example after example when
right.
that happens.
Speaking of example, we sell mostly, I mean, everything basically we have is new with tags.
Yes.
We buy overstock, mostly clothes, shoes, women's, kids, men's. There's some home items that come along with it, seasonal decor. We've had some really fun Easter and Halloween stuff come in. Most of it is all new with tags and in pretty darn good condition.
Yes.
So that helps us a lot. That's a kind of our first point that we'd like to make, is I feel like, okay, I'm a reseller. The next bracket down, you're like, am I selling used items? Am I sourcing them? Or am I selling brand new with tags?
Exactly.
As far as the
obviously,
condition.
That's going to affect how you price your item, because the newer it is, either brand new with tags or like new items, those are going to be priced more than a used item or a damaged item. So,
yes.
I mean, that's one of the factors that you have to take into consideration. And if you don't sell clothes or home goods, if maybe you sell collectibles or vintage items, then obviously those are more under the used category, but condition is even more important,
right?
In those, when you're talking about those used or collectible items, because obviously if it's a, you know, quote unquote used, but the box is in pristine condition, or it's a vintage item that is basically looks like it's brand new, you're going to be able to price it way higher than something that has little snags or tears or rips and those types of things.
That's true. Definitely.
But when it comes to your clothes, your shoes, I think obviously new is easy to explain. I mean, it's new, it's
brand new with tags. It's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, I mean, our stuff still comes in the manufacturing bags. We're always left. When we open it out of the bag, we're probably the first human hands that touch this item.
So. Yes, I always say it cannot get any more newer than it already is, because they're not shelf pulls. And we've gotten loads before,
yeah.
Truck loads that were shelf pulls. But we usually either donate the things that are truly damaged, or we put it in the description, we put it in the title, we make
yeah.
sure there's a lot of communication there.
And just shelf pulls basically means is when a lot of stores, it's been physically in a store and it's been reduced clearance, and then they've pulled it off, quote unquote, the shelf. It might have, the item might still have the tag on it. It might have stickers, those little, you know, yellow or orange reduced stickers on
mm-hmm.
it. It might have been tried on.
Definitely tried on.
It might be dusty or dirty, that type of thing. So it's new with tags, but it's not in that new pristine condition. So, you know, you kind of have to factor that into it as well. So
I always love when you go to, like, for those of you who are sourcing, you'll get a kick out of this, but you go to the clearance rack and you're shuffling through, and like all of the tops have deodorant on them.
Yes.
They all have deodorant, and you're just like, okay, I'm not trying that on.
It's gross.
But I do know that it will wash out. Okay, it's $1. I'll take it. But
yeah.
It's always like anytime you're on the clearance rack, it's like, okay, this is...
They've obviously been tried
100%
on. 100%
been tried on.
A couple of times.
Yes.
Or lipstick stains.
Oh my God. And now it's ruined.
Yeah. That you can't get. That's not coming out.
Or I'm not going to try, not for a dollar. So, but anyway, so considering the condition is very important, and probably, like Leah said, the first thing you want to think about, there's tons of things that go into pricing your item, but kind of knowing where to start...
Yes.
Is the condition of the item.
And that really even goes into when you're sourcing your items. Do you want to have, we always, if you go back into some of our previous episodes, we talk about sourcing. The first thing is going into your own closet. Now, I have things in my closet that literally still have the tags
Me
in
too.
It. And has never been even tried on. It's just still sitting there.
Like, why did I buy that?
I don't know
I
why.
Don't even wear purple.
I know. I have probably 1,000 skirts because I think I like skirts. And then I get them. I'm like, I don't wear skirts. Why do I have
Oh, I look ridiculous
Why do
skirts?
I still have these?
I don't even own one.
Oh, I own them. They're just in my closet with tags on them. So, you
I
know.
I also like to buy things that I'm like, when I lose weight, I'll fit into this. And I'm like, donate. Never going to happen.
3 years later, well, that's not happening. And 2 kids. Nope.
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 Never going to be an extra small again.
So yes, it goes into your sourcing strategy, new versus used, the condition of the items, things like that as well. Now, not saying that you can't sell items that are not close to perfect. When I buy kids' clothes online, even if it's been slightly worn, you can tell it may even have a little tiny stain on it. I'm like, I'm buying it for, like you said, a dollar. Who cares?
Right.
My kid's going to destroy this item. Mm-hmm. I'm bundling it with a whole bunch of other items. Then I might get it. So it's not saying that it has to be in pristine condition when you're selling it. You just need to take that factor into consideration when you're pricing your item.
Exactly. Yes.
So the other thing that you need to think about, point number two, is to price your items is the season and the desirability of the item. So the season, we mean obviously what time of year. Your items should not stay the same price throughout the entire year. I mean, you,
that's a good thought.
Unless you have zero time in the world, you're working 2 full-time jobs and this is like your 3rd full-time job, then I get it. But when we price our items, even the ones that are currently in our closet, or in our store at the on the platform, it changes throughout the year. So, in the spring is when I am raising the prices of our summer items, our swimsuits and shorts and little dresses and things like that. Then in July, those all go on sale. And then our coats and winter boots, and then those prices go up. We talk about this in our episode about the yearly cycle, the yearly sale cycle. But it's one of those things to keep in mind when you're pricing your item, when you're listing it. If you get a new swimsuit and you're listing it in November, you might have to list it a little bit lower. Well, I take that back because swimsuits sell year round. But if
they
you
do.
Have,
they do.
But if you have some a pair of
I'm
sandals, if you have a pair of sandals and it's November, you might be listing it a little lower than if you were listing it in May.
That's true.
Type of thing. So the season of it is,
or list it high in November.
True.
Knowing that you're going to drop the price down. Actually, that's a good idea too. That's 2 different strategies that
yes.
I just thought of. Because if you list it high and people are liking it
early,
or they're following it or watching that item throughout the winter, and then you drop that price down in March,
they
I'm
grab
willing
it.
To bet that it sells.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I feel like we're going on a whole rant now.
Well, and I like,
it all ties in together.
It does. And I like that we contradict each other in our own self, because it's true. There are so each item is priced differently.
It has its own story.
It has its own story
yeah.
behind it. And then the desirability of the item. Obviously, the brand of the item is important to take into consideration. I think when you shop on Amazon, which I don't buy a lot of clothes on Amazon, but you're getting a whole bunch of stuff that are basically off-brand or no brand from China.
Yes.
And so
and see, I'm the opposite. I love to just order way more than I need from Amazon,
yeah.
knowing that all I have to do is run down here and drop it off.
Yes.
Because the return process is so easy.
True.
So I order, try it all on, and then return what doesn't fit.
But if you're trying to resell something like that, if it's just a black shirt, and you put black shirt in the description, and that you don't have a...
Because there's no brand.
There's no brand.
Right.
There's no, or it's you know, Julie's shirt, or you know, like some name that they've made up. That is going to take forever to sell because no one's looking for that. And if
That's
you
true.
Put black shirt in any search engine, you're going to get 50 million
That's
views.
True.
I mean, you're never going to be able to find it. versus if you have a Lululemon black shirt, then right. obviously people are going to be searching for that a little bit more specifically. So the desirability of it, of specific brands, the desirability of it,
As a collector's item too.
Ooh, yes.
You're thinking about that also, that's why we put season with desirability, is because they go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. You're thinking about those antique items that you have right before Christmas that are Christmas decor.
Yes.
You're going to want to raise the prices during that time.
Yes.
Because they're going to sell for that for Christmas gifts and things like that. And then January, you drop the price down 10, 15%.
Yes, exactly. So, and if you are in a specific category, maybe you sell more of the collectibles items. Maybe you specialize in Funko Pops or something like that. Then hopefully you know your category and you know, oh, there's a new movie coming out, so these characters are going to become more desirable versus, you know, later.
Yes.
You know, so
Disney stuff,
yes,
things
exactly.
like that. Oh my gosh, that's a whole new world.
Yes. And so you've got to think in a look
we should
ahead.
Get into that.
In our spare time.
I'm like, oh, the Disney. That's fun because my kids are into Disney right now.
Yeah, so if you know, I mean, especially those Disney movies that come out. What is it? Kung Fu Panda just, you know, recently came out with the, you know, 400th or 500th episode that they're doing.
Oh my gosh.
So if you have a Kung Fu Panda thing, even if it came from the first movie, you might want to raise the price up a little bit more as that movie comes out. And then as it's been out for a little while, you drop
right.
it down. So it's those types of things that you have to kind of keep on the trends of what's happening.
And that just reminded me why we don't do that is because we're the last one to know. Because it sells over the weekend. Like, we had some fur coats and the designer had passed away and all of the coats sold
in one day.
In one day at full price. We had like four left. They all sold over the weekend. And Leah calls me and she's like, what's the deal with these coats?
We've
and
had them for 3 years.
They all sold the same weekend. I'm like, on different platforms.
Yes.
Not all on the same platform. Different platforms. We sold out. So it was definitely something that someone was Google searching.
Yes.
And then just buying all of them.
Yes.
And that happens a lot when something happens to a designer. It's in the news. It's celebrity news. But Leah and I... We live in our own little world.
We have young
and
kids.
We're the last to know. We have to find out later. And we're like, dang, we should have raised the prices
we
on this.
We could have, if we had been following, we could have raised the price. We could have doubled the price.
We could
and
have
probably
doubled.
Sold it. But
really, we're just glad they're gone.
Yes.
And so
we made our
we're
money.
We're going to pick our battle.
We're happy with that. So you have your item. You know the condition. New or used in those used categories, what is, you know, what condition under that does it look like? And like new with tags, is it gently used, et cetera,
new without
et cetera.
Tags,
yeah.
Things like that.
Is it, what season is it? The desirability of it. You kind of have an idea of that. Now you have to do a little bit more research. You can't just still put it up there and put a price. Obviously the first thing you take into consideration is the original retail price. And once again, we sell a lot of clothes. First of all, it's helpful when the price is on the tag. You're like, ding, it's $30,
done.
Move on. Or we might have to do a little digging on what that original retail price is. Now, if you do sell more vintage items, homemade items, or collectibles, sometimes you don't have that retail price or it doesn't really even matter. You know, people that sell a lot of collectibles, oh, good, it originally retailed for $30. It doesn't matter. I'm still going to sell it for $200. So... You know.
Yes. Well, and especially those antique items, they just grow in value.
Exactly.
So sometimes you're going the opposite way of how we reduce our prices, whereas you're
increasing.
Every year it gets more desirable and you're increasing it. I didn't think about that. That's a great point.
Yeah. So, but you still have to, you know, can take that in consideration depending on what you're selling. But the most important thing is the comps. And by that we mean the comparable items that have sold on a platform. So there's two types of comps. And this is on all platforms, no matter what you sell on. If it's eBay, if it's Mercari, if it's Poshmark, if it's Depop, whatever it is, you, first of all, is who else is selling that same or very, very similar item and what price are they selling it at?
Right.
So you want to look at all those current prices. Now, you might... you know, want to sell it slightly higher than them. You might want to sell it for the same price, or you might want to sell it slightly lower than them. And there's a little bit of strategy that goes into that depending on what the item is and you know, what you want to do. But the biggest thing to take in consideration is what the item has sold for. And so most platforms will let you go into what items have sold and look at those prices. And the example I always give, and I think I've given it on another podcast episode, is my brother-in-law had found, I think my sister-in-law had a China set and she had given it to him and he was asking me about selling it on eBay. And first of all, dishes are hard because they break. I just try to stay away from the China. And he goes, oh my gosh, this is at $600 on eBay. What? He was all excited.
He thought he was about to be a millionaire.
He was just ecstatic about it. And so I get on my phone and in 3 seconds, I pull up the sold. That was what it was listed at.
Right.
Great. I pull up the sold and it shows that each piece maybe sells for $1 or $2.
Right.
And I went, yeah, you're about 30.
You're looking at someone's listing who also has the same optimism as you.
And you know what? And there's a lot of people that do that. They just price things high and go, well, who knows? Someone might.
Well, there are those people that do not look at competition yes. prices and they're like, oh, I love these. Oh, they're $600. Okay, whatever. I have money. And they buy them and they don't know.
And they don't know that someone else is selling it for $50.
You overpaid. I know. I mean, that's a whole nother situation.
Well, and if you are trying to become a regular reseller, that's not a good strategy because it's mainly going to sit there forever and ever and ever.
Right.
And ever. So yes, look at what has sold. And then also a lot of them will tell you not only what the price it sold for, but the time frame. Because obviously if I'm looking at I have a Christmas item and it's February and I start looking at the sold comps, well, it's going to show me what sold back in December and November. That's not comparable
right.
to my time right now in February. So
smart.
You know, it's like, yes, this item sold for $50, but that was November 30th. Someone was wanting it for Christmas. Someone
as a gift.
Yeah, there might not be paying $30 right now in February. So I need to price that accordingly. So
right.
But that's one of the biggest things I tell people when they're really new is look at the sold comparables. It doesn't really matter. I can list things for $1 million. It doesn't matter what it's listed
yeah.
for. It really matters what it's sold for.
And you can do that really easily in the app of whatever platform you regularly sell on
yeah.
or just with a quick Google search.
Exactly.
You can just put the description in and you can scroll multiple different platforms, which is good if you sell on multiple platforms mm-hmm. because as long as you put in a good description, all of those items from all different sellers are going to pop up and then
yeah.
you can just click on it. Go look and see what the sold is and then move on from that and take notes.
Yes.
I mean, you could take some good notes, especially if you're talking about selling something that's worth hundreds of dollars and you're going to make a big chunk of change.
Yes.
Now, if you've got a little $5 Cat and Jack t-shirt, you may not be worried about it.
Yeah.
But you got to do your research. If that's like the difference between I'm paying my light bill with this money or not,
mm-hmm.
take it seriously. I mean, and you also want to consider pricing your items a certain percentage higher. That way, if you do put them on clearance or you do put them on sale after the end of the season or when it's appropriate, that you're not putting yourself so far down you don't make a profit or even in the red. You want to be able to stay in the green.
Yes.
Significantly.
I would say a vast majority of our sales that we make on all platforms are through either an offer someone has sent us or some sort of sale we put them on, a reduced the price, or we've sent an offer to a buyer. So we always, 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 always price your items a little bit higher, whether that's 5, 10%, even as much as 20, 30% higher.
Yeah.
Because you want to leave that buffer of what your bare minimum of what you need to make versus, you know, being able to put things on sale. And then a lot of times it sells for full price and you go, woohoo!
That's something to celebrate. Definitely. It always surprises me what things sell for.
Yeah.
It's never what I think it's going
to
be.
Yeah. And you know, this kind of goes back to what we said, I think Kaylee said at the very beginning, is based on the space that you have. Don't panic about putting your items on sale.
Right.
You know,
give it time.
There are some people and there's different philosophies out there, but there are some people that say, oh, you have to, if it doesn't sell within 6 months, then you have to pull it off and donate it or something. First of all, why? You've already done all the work. Just let it, you've taken the pictures, you've written the description,
yeah.
you put it into your inventory. Why would I be taking that out?
How many times do I say, what is your time worth?
Yes.
If you think that you are worth $50 to $100 an hour and it took you 2 hours to list that blouse, why on earth after you put actual cash money into sourcing it, would you donate it only after 6 months?
Yeah.
And I get it. I mean, my first 6 months on my own Poshmark account, I was selling my daughter's things It was COVID. I was, you know, of course, spending plenty of time with my daughter because we couldn't leave the house, but also bored at the same time. And so I was like, I want to list some things. And I found myself, I listed like 5 or 6 items and I'm just refreshing it. Like you almost get kind of, you're excited, but you're obsessive about the likers and the things like that. And so I understand that it's very exciting and overwhelming in the beginning, but I have had to train myself, not only as a parent, but as a reseller, to have the most patience.
Yes.
Because it does pay off in the end. Your time is worth so much more than anybody ever allows themselves to think. But also you have to consider your sales not daily.
Yes.
Because it's not usually going to sell in the same day, sometimes weeks, sometimes months. Sometimes it takes years for it to sell.
Reselling is a long, long game.
Yes.
This is not
your P&L is stretched out to like your annual sales and your 5-year plan.
Exactly. So if you live in a teeny tiny apartment, you don't have any space, and you're really trying to move things quickly, that's a completely different strategy. First of all, don't know if you should be a full-time reseller.
No, not unless you're going to be listing your items on Facebook Marketplace and on several different platforms to just triple your probability of selling
it. Or if you have a smaller number of items, but they're really, really high-priced items. So
right, if you're doing jewelry or something like that.
Yeah, I'm doing designer handbags. I only have 10 of them, so I'm just going to price them really high.
Exactly.
And then you're going to sit on them. But if you're doing something like that, where we're turning over, you know, mid-price, lower-price items over and over and over again, then they're going to sit there for a little while. I mean, once again, the season of when you list it. But even if it might go through 2 seasons, I can't tell you how many, we always laugh how many times that we have an item, especially if it's the last one of the number that we have, and it sells 2-3 years later at full price. And we're like, what? That's been, I have put that thing on sale 100 times. Yes. I would have taken a lot less, but sure. If you want.
And then our next thought is, oh crap, do we have that?
Let's check the inventory.
Where is that? Yeah. We get it on our Benin app and then we go looking for it. And
exactly.
Sure enough, usually it's there. If we're doing our regular inventory checks, it's usually there, but you got to have patience and just chill for a bit and allow yourself time to make decent money on these items.
I love that. Allow yourself to make the sale.
Allow yourself to make the sale.
I like that.
After you put it on sale, not to be confusing. So we've talked about checking the price tag. If it doesn't have a price tag, you're doing your research on finding what the original price could have been, checking the condition. You're looking at all of the comparisons and the competitions, and then comes the fees.
Yes.
So depending on what platform you sell on, Mercari, Poshmark, eBay, whatnot, ThredUp, all those things, they all have their own fee structures. Mm-hmm. And you also don't just start throwing up your items on, I hate when I say throwing up your items. You say it too.
I say it in the auction all the time.
And Lexi sounds terrible.
Lexi gets to giggle. So Lexi's going to throw up the listing and she's like, okay.
We're so mature. You said throw up. And we just keep having kids and I don't know why. So you have to consider the fees. Don't just go and list all your items on different platforms and not do your research within.
Yes.
I mean, it's just like buying a car, buying a house. You got to check yourself out before you do it.
And some platforms are really good at telling you what the fees are up front. I mean, that's one of the reasons that we love Poshmark so much, is while you're listing the item, and Mercari does it too. It says, okay, if you're going to list your item at $10, here's minus these fees. Here's how much money you're going to walk away with.
Yeah.
So it really helps you in that sense. Now, there's some platforms like eBay, which is like this giant mystery of what I'm going to make on this item. And you think, oh, eBay's less. They're going to have, it's only 14%. But then by the time you get the payout of it, you realize it was actually 30%. We'll do a whole episode/rant on eBay fees and explaining that. But you really need to take that into consideration, is all those little fees that the platform takes out of, because that's there no matter what. Period. Whatever that item sells for, they're going to get their money.
Well, and sometimes it depends on how much you price the item for is how much they take out.
True.
And how much you make.
Yes.
So you really have to dive into that and make notes and check it all out, because you got to make your money first.
Exactly.
But Poshmark, eBay, Mercari, they're all going to take their money too.
Yes.
So it's all a game. Unless you're selling it locally on Facebook Marketplace, then you don't have to worry as much about fees, because it's porch pickup. It's, I'm going to meet you here and drop you off.
Cash or Venmo.
You can make your own rules there unless you're shipping it. But if you're doing it locally, then you don't have to worry about fees, which is why I sell a lot of my kids' stuff that way.
But I think that is a great transition into our last point, is kind of the other. We're going to put this all under a category of other, mm-hmm. You know, not fees, but other things that you need to take in consideration in your prices. And one of those is your time. So not only is it your, if you're listing on a platform, it's your time to physically
take
the pictures, make the description, put it in your inventory, sourcing it, the time it took you to source it. You got to add that factor of time into it. But if you're doing Facebook Marketplace and you're like, well, I don't have any fees, you know, I'm quote unquote taking all the money, but you're driving across town and meeting somebody to deliver it to them, and it's gas, time. I mean, that's a lot that factors into
it. I'm a porch pickup girl.
Which your husband hates.
Oh, yeah. He's like, how many strangers have come to the house this weekend to buy things? And I'm like, it's fine. I trust everyone.
I've never met them. I don't know who they are.
It's fine. We have two mutual friends on Facebook, so they're obviously not a serial killer. That's a good point that you make about gas, and that also goes into shipping supplies.
Yes.
So that's kind of like your local thing as you think about gas and you think about your time. And if it's not on your way to work, it's not really convenient for you for a $5 shirt. You spent more in gas than you made on the shirt.
Especially nowadays.
But if you're shipping, you have to consider things like the label, the bag, the box, your time to package it up and weigh the item and things like that, depending on what platform you're on. There's a lot that goes into that.
I know a lot of people who, you know, we talk a lot about Poshmark, and they say, well, I get the free shipping supplies from the post office, so I don't have any costs. And it's like, well, you probably still have to buy tape.
Yeah.
You still have to either print the label, so you have your ink or a label maker. There's the physical label or the paper that you're printing on.
Both are expensive.
It is. It adds up. I mean, you sit there and think, if you priced it out per item, I mean, you're probably using, it might be 10 to 20 cents in supplies, but we're doing hundreds of items. That adds up very quickly.
That's a lot of money. I mean, if you went on to, I mean, wherever you source your tape and things like that, and you bought it all in bulk,
in one order,
it's a couple $100.
Good point. We buy our stuff in bulk, so I'm getting it priced per item a lot cheaper. If you're going to Walmart and buying one roll of tape,
yes,
that's like $10 for a roll of tape.
Yes. If you're doing that, you need to back out of this episode and go into shipping supplies.
Yes.
And listen to that one, because that's a no-no.
Yeah.
Even if you think you might sell more items throughout the year, buying in bulk is way cheaper. Now, I understand if you're like, oh my gosh, I have to get this out today, I have no tape.
Yeah.
And you just run into the Dollar General and grab a roll for now. But you can't make that a habit.
You will not make any money.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And then if you're selling on other platforms that you're not able to use the free priority shipping supplies from the post office, you're buying poly mailer bags, you might be buying or reusing boxes, things like that. There is a cost to that. There is a physical cost, whether it's the actual cost of the item and or your time into getting and sourcing and doing those products as well. So there are other little costs that you have to add into it. So, you know, when you think about, okay, I paid X when I sourced this item, I want to, you know, at least double my money. You have to start backing out, what is the shipping supplies? What is the platform fees? What are all those little fees that get me down to that number?
Yes. Make yourself a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Make yourself go onto your Excel spreadsheet and make an equation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that you can put in what you bought the item for, what you've invested so far, and then put in your fees and put in the platform fee and things like that, and have your own little calculator. Until you learn.
Exactly.
We kind of have it memorized.
We've
on
been
our
doing
items,
this for years.
So we just kind of ballpark it. But if you're new, make yourself an equation so you're not sitting doing all the math. You just plug in your numbers. It's like, boom, you're going to make $50. Awesome. Great. List it.
I think that is fantastic advice, especially when you're first starting out, because you get caught up in the thrill of the sale. And you're like, I sold it. Yay. And you get all excited. Until you really start to break down that final number of the money you took away, how much money did you really make in that?
Yeah, not to mention, don't even get me started on, you're excited you sold it, and then you're shipping it in a $4 floral poly mailer bag.
With tissue paper, some sort of scented...
a love letter, and a Dove chocolate.
You made zero dollars.
Yeah. On that item. So as Leah was recapping, you're considering the condition of your item. You're considering, especially if you've got, you know, vintage items that are boxed or bagged. A lot of people are. I mean, it's like those glasses you bought.
Mm-hmm.
Had that box, that velvet box,
oh,
with those
yes.
antique glasses that you bought. had the box come damaged, it would have been a whole nother ball game for
exactly.
you.
Exactly. You really have to take that into consideration of the whole package of the item when you're selling it. That's a great point.
Yes. So you're thinking about seasonally, you're thinking about desirability, the retail price, new with tags, you're looking at what everyone else is selling it for, but also what it sold for. That's so important to check and see what it sold for. And we do, like we said earlier, we have multiple other episodes that you can check out that teach you how to put items on sale on multiple different platforms. Yes. If you've got any questions about that, checking out the fees and then the shipping supplies. So how to price your item. I mean, we could really be here all day, but we won't hold you up much longer. There's just a lot you need to take into account. And we're here to give you the best advice we can so that you can make money, because that's really the whole reason we're doing this, right?
Absolutely. To make money. That's why we're here.
Yeah.
So if you have any questions, comments, or other suggestions for episodes, then please send those our way. You can reach us at paperclip47.com. That is our reseller hub. It's everything you need to know about reselling. And we hope you have good luck in your selling your items. So
yay! Happy reselling.
Thank you so much for listening to Ready to Resell. We are so excited to go on this reselling journey with you as you grow your business. Please check out readytoresell.com. It is our reseller hub that has our social media. You can browse bulk inventory to purchase, has been in our inventory app, and also ways to contact us with questions or suggestions for future episodes. Happy reselling!